Laudator Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI remembers Pope John Paul I on the 30th anniversary of his death. We celebrate the feast of the Archangel Gabriel, patron saint of all communications workers. Over 50 Somali migrants die tragically in their desperate attempt to flee hunger and insecurity in the Horn of Africa. And Father Jim Brand delves into the deep spirituality of the first three steps of the AA's 12-step program. Although Pope John Paul I was pontiff for only 33 days, he left a great spiritual legacy. These were the words of Pope Benedict XVI as he reflected on the readings from Sunday's liturgy before praying the Angelus with the crowds gathered in the courtyard of the papal summer residence of Castel Gandolfo. Charles Collins has this report.
Pope Benedict dedicated his last Angelus from Castel Gandolfo in 2008 to his predecessor, Pope John Paul I. Pope Benedict began his remarks by reflecting on Sunday's liturgy, in which the gospel was that of the parable of the two sons sent by their father to work in his vineyard. One said yes right away, the other initially refuses, only to repent later and then accept to fulfill his father's wish. The Holy Father said the parable shows the love of Jesus for the sinner who repents, and that we need humility in order to receive the gift of salvation.
In today's gospel, the Lord asks us to reflect whether we are obedient to the Father in word alone or truly committed to following his will in our daily lives. May his words inspire in us a spirit of genuine conversion and an even more generous commitment to the spread of the gospel.
The Pope then turned to Pope John Paul I, who died 30 years ago. He pointed out that his predecessor chose St. Charles Borromeo's episcopal motto, Humilitas, as his own, a word that sums up that which is essential in Christian life and which indicates the virtue needed by those in the Church who are called to serve as authorities. Pope Benedict said Pope John Paul I had a simplicity that was a tool to formulate solid and vivid teachings, which he enhanced by frequent quotes from church and secular writers that he could recall thanks to an exceptional memory and a vast culture. Pope John Paul I also used examples taken from real life, from his own family memories, and from the wisdom of ordinary people. Before ending his Angelus address, Pope Benedict thanked the community of Castel Gandolfo for their hospitality and reminded everyone that on October 19th he will go on pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii in the month dedicated to the Rosary. Pope Benedict returns to the Vatican on Tuesday. I'm Charles Collins.
Thanks there to Charles Collins for that report. September the 29th is a special day for us here at Vatican Radio. It's the day we celebrate our patron saint, the Archangel Gabriel. A special mass is held in the morning for all radio employees, followed by a party during which honorary recognitions for good service are awarded. A brief consultation of the Catholic Dictionary revealed to me that the name Gabriel means man of God, or God has shown himself mighty, and it first appears in the prophecies of Daniel in the Old Testament. In fact, it was the angel Gabriel who announced to Daniel the prophecy of the 70 weeks. He was also the angel who appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of St. John the Baptist. Finally, it was he who announced to Mary that she would bear a son who would be conceived of the Holy Spirit, Son of God and Saviour of the world. Thus, St. Gabriel is the patron of communications workers. Someone, I'm sure, who can tell me more about Gabriel is Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright. I happen to know that he is currently in Rome, preparing for yet another of his travels. But as always, Father Timothy found time for me, and as it turned out, he's so interested in angels that this is only the first in a series of reflections inspired by the Archangel Gabriel.
The 29th of September is the feast in the Church of St. Michael and all the angels. And on this, the feast day also of the patron saint of the Vatican Radio, St. Gabriel particularly, Fortitudo Dei, the strength of God, or in other traditions translated as the trustworthy spirit, or again the spirit of inspiration, or the angel of the power of God, the patron saint of communications. Perhaps the place where I found most evidence of St. Gabriel in art was in a brochure which I picked up at the Coptic Museum in Cairo, in Egypt. And there's a wonderful picture in that of a double-sided panel. On the one side is a representation, an iconographic representation of the Last Supper. Jesus clearly presiding at a meal, the apostles around him, and Jesus' eyes fixed on the one who will betray him out of the corner of his eye. But on the other side is the picture of St. Gabriel, the angel of strength, with a scroll in one hand, a cross in the other, and his eyes fixed to the right. The man of power, the man with a message. And the message is that truth is always having to face error, falsehood, distortion. And within the world in which we live, to discern between right and wrong, good and bad, is one of the gifts that each of us seeks to acquire. And it's a gift that comes through our own faith and our own certainty derived from that faith, and also our uncertainties and questions, which crush in upon us from outside by people asking us questions, presenting impossible situations, putting us in a position where to say, no, I disagree, sounds like being insensitive and inhuman. So St. Gabriel, the one who can tell the truth in the face of error, the one who can give strength to those struggling with the questions, is indeed a fitting patron saint for today.
That was Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright. And turning to something quite different, at least 52 Somalis died over the weekend when the boat smuggling them across the Gulf of Aden to Yemen broke down and they were left adrift with no food or water for 18 days. The survivors, aged from 2 to 40 years old, were taken to a United Nations Refugee Agency reception centre. They said they left Somalia because of continuing insecurity in the war-torn nation, drought and unemployment. This latest tragedy coincides with a recent upsurge in people smuggling across the Gulf of Aden from Somalia. So far this year, at least 31,192 people have arrived in Yemen after making the perilous voyage aboard smugglers' boats. More than 228 people have died, and at least 262 remain missing. Millions of the world's hungriest people live in the Horn of Africa. Poverty, drought, and conflict are all part of the landscape where some 13 million men, women, and children are currently threatened by famine. We spoke to Bishop Giorgio Bertin, Apostolic Administrator of Mogadishu in Somalia, and Bishop of Djibouti, who explained why food aid is not reaching the needy in the Horn of Africa.
I can say surely that the food cannot get particularly in central southern Somalia because of piracy on the seas. And then apart from the piracy on the seas, there is also the total insecurity for the convoys once they are in central southern Somalia. So this is the main problem. The second problem is that the so-called rebels, probably with some Islamic flavor, if I can say so, have been targeting Western, or rather, let us say, foreign NGOs, including UN agencies, and recently not only targeting the expatriates, but also Somalis working within UN and Western NGOs.
The result of these concurring factors, he says, has been really dramatic.
I would say that there is, from the international community, the goodwill to assist Somalis with food, with other kind of help. But the problem is really, how can we send food help in such a situation? For what regards Ethiopia, well, honestly, I'm not living there, and so I cannot have a clear picture of the situation. However, I may try to guess that there are two reasons. From one side, there is also there a certain insecurity, particularly in that area called Ogaden, southeastern Ethiopia, because there are rebels, so-called ethnic Somalis rebels, which makes the route unsafe on one hand. On the other hand, probably the Ethiopian government try to punish not simply the rebels, but perhaps also the local population, which being so ethnically Somalis, may in a certain way support the so-called rebels. That is why there is also there probably a certain difficulty of on reaching the people in need.
And the people are in such dire conditions, Bishop Bertin reiterated, that many of them attempt the dangerous journey across the Gulf of Aden in pure desperation.
I would simply say that in May I have attended a meeting organized by the UNHCR in Sana'a, Yemen, to deal with the question of migrants leaving the Horn of Africa and trying to cross the Gulf of Aden, a very dangerous crossing. And, well, this crossing, I have been always insisting in saying that is, and also during my trips in the northern part of Djibouti, I have seen hundreds of people, mainly Ethiopian youth, walking, literally walking, with nothing in their hands, trying to reach the coast, particularly in the area of Obok, in order to go to Yemen and from there to reach Arab countries and perhaps even to the Mediterranean countries. That is the result not simply of political conflict in Somalia or instability in Ethiopia, but it is the consequence of an immense poverty, faced with an immediate poverty in front of our eyes, we are ready to take any decision, even a desperate and illogical decision. But when danger, when starvation is just in front of you, you may imagine that going even and crossing the Gulf of Aden, you may resolve all your problems. I would like to add that during these days there is a third phase of meetings concerning peace in Somalia here in Djibouti. Well, I will ask all the listeners of Vatican Radio at least to add their prayers, because with peace everything is possible, even reducing poverty.
You've been listening to Bishop Giorgio Bertin, Apostolic Administrator of Mogadishu in Somalia and Bishop of Djibouti. And now Father Jim Brand continues in his journey into the deeply spiritual AA 12-step program. He explains how the first three steps are all about conversion.
Hello, it's Father Jim. Last week, I was beginning to think about the 12th step program that I was introduced to by some alcoholic friends. I was pointing out that for me, this was very redeeming because I came from an alcoholic family and there were lots of things that I didn't understand and injuries I had from that sort of a background. And these wonderful, wonderful people, holy people, have given me more than I'm ever aware of giving them. And I was saying that there were four things that have taught me a lot. One is, we are all in this together. Two, don't look back. Three, just live for today. That's quite enough, just for today. And fourthly, we're all one drink away from ruination, so we can't condemn anybody. And I used to go to these open meetings we had in the parish. The place was made holy by the presence of these people, all ages, all sorts, all backgrounds. It was a real leveller. And a meeting will usually begin by, let's consider why we're here and give a thought for the suffering alcoholic. Real compassionate feelings. And then the person who's going to lead will ask somebody if they'd like to read the 12 steps of the program and also the 12 traditions. And today I'd just like to start saying something about the 12 steps of this spiritual program. The first three steps, I think, are what conversion is about. The first step is we, notice we, not just I, we, because we're all in this together, admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I suppose without this first step, we can't really carry on because it's hitting reality. I think we never allowed my father to get too bad, to hit rock bottom. Always trying to protect him from that, because he might burn the house down. So in some ways we colluded with it. It's very difficult sometimes to let somebody hit the dust, bite the dust, and from there they can only go upwards. And I've noticed such patience in these groups with people. And they say, well, perhaps he's not ready yet. Perhaps she needs more time. But really, one can't get on with this program until one admits that one's powerless. Alone, one's powerless. And in the whole area of virtue and sin, eventually we have to say, look, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm powerless. Now, I have absolutely no doubt that within the group there is a dynamism, the Holy Spirit, where two are gathered together, that is much more than the sum of the parts. It's this support they give each other, not only in meetings, and some may go to more than two meetings a day. We always used to have extra ones on Christmas Day because that was a particularly difficult time when everyone was saying, have a drink. You're not drinking, you must be a drip. You must be wet, you see. And also for some of them, Christmas was a painful time because of past miserable Christmases they'd all had together. So I was always very impressed at the support they give each other. There's phone services, people can ring up phone lines and chat. They tend to have quite a lot of high phone bills, but also you're given a sponsor who's your special friend, usually somebody who's been sober for a while and understands the program, a sponsor who's always available for you so that you're not alone. Together we'll do this. So the first step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Our lives had become manageable. Then second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Oh, there's lots to learn there. They always talk about a higher power. You can only look upwards now because you've hit rock bottom. And whatever you call your God, as you understand him, must always be a higher power. And I wish Christians would have a God that's always a higher power. I know some Christians who are walking saints, but the God they worship is a devil. Less loving than they are, less virtuous, less forgiving. Terrifying God someone's infected them with. So when you're rock bottom, all you can do is to look up to what will always be a higher power. And praying to that higher power to restore us to sanity. Because their wisdom sees their condition as an illness that affects the body, it affects the spirit and one's emotions. It's a sort of total illness. And therefore, they need to be helped for people to understand more about this illness. And really, the alcoholics I've met, including my father, when they don't drink, there's no one more wonderful in the world. It seems to affect sometimes the loveliest, wonderful people. Then, having turned to a higher power, you make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And in life, I'm sure our understanding of the higher power grows. The relationship grows, as with everything else in life, it either grows or deteriorates. And these first three steps are what I see as conversion. Facing truth. Alone it's impossible. Turning to what must be a higher power, because I can't help myself. And then handing one's life over to the care of that higher power. For me, that is conversion. And knowing and loving these people have helped me understand conversion more. I still miss them, all those weekends we used to spend together on one of the 12 steps. And one thing that has always touched me is how grateful they are. Some of them are Scots. And at the end of the weekend, they used to have what they call a gratitude meeting. When they went round and they just shared what their reason for gratitude was. It wasn't just me, but that God has kept them safe. Amazing Grace is one of their favourite hymns. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. And they're so grateful for small mercies. And that taught me lots about our Lord, who was always so grateful. I thank you, Father, for the work you've given me to do. I thank you for the friends you've given me. I thank you for listening to my prayer. I'm grateful for a cup of water. And the humility and simplicity of these friends doing the 12th steps has opened a new world of reconciliation to me with my past. And I'm very happy to pass what I've received on to you, especially if there's any of you out there suffering. Remember, if this is a problem for you, go straight back to the meeting where you'll be received with love. And I'd further say, if you have problems with the church and you feel alienated, go straight back to the meeting, the Assembly of the Believers, and I hope you'll be welcomed with a great kiss. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus. Thank you.